Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.
History tells the story of the world and of our lives. Sometimes that history goes bump in the night. Broadcasting from the center of oddity and the supernatural in Central Florida, it's the History Goes Bump podcast.
Hello, you spectacular people. Welcome to this 536th episode of the History Goes Bump podcast, Ghost Tours for the Theater of the Mind. I'm your host, Diane.
And this is Kelly.
Kelly, on this episode, we have an investigation. We haven't done one of those in a while.
Always a favorite.
We stayed at the Artisan Hotel in DeLand, and while we were in DeLand, we learned this place has got a lot of haunted locations. So that's what we're going to feature on this episode, the haunted parts of DeLand and our investigation. So we're looking forward to bringing that to you. Before we get into that, we want to welcome into the spectacular crew, Jim, Amy, Joe, and Deja.
Thank you so much for joining our Facebook group.
And now, this moment in oddity.
The moment in oddity was suggested by Suzanne Silk. Many people have had the experience of skipping rocks across a body of water. Finding just the right smooth stone is the key to success. That concept was used at the Batería de San Antonio, also called the Spanish Water Battery of Fort Barrancas in Pensacola, Florida. Back during the American Revolution, the British controlled Pensacola, Florida, and had built a fort atop some hills overlooking the bay. Its purpose was to keep enemy ships from entering the body of water. In 1781, a Spanish fleet came up against the fort and quickly overtook the British, suffering very little damage from their gunfire. The fort itself was of strong fortification. However, its location upon the hill made its firepower inadequate for proper protection. The Spanish added to the fort's design by creating a masonry water battery closer to the water level of the bay. The new structure was of semicircular construction, allowing an expanded field of coverage for their artilleries. The most fascinating part of this complex was that due to its near sea level location, it allowed for cannonballs to be skipped across the surface of the bay, thus allowing cannonballs to travel greater distances before making contact with their intended target. The fort is the third oldest in Florida, with only Castillo de San Marcos and Fort Matanzas in St. Augustine being older. Currently, Fort Barrancas only offers self-guided tours available during its off-season through the National Park Service's mobile app, and in May it opens for regular tours. Skipping cannonballs along a bay's surface to be able to reach their intended target certainly is odd.
Scared yet? Boo!
And now, this month in history.
In the month of May, on the 5th in 1868, the first Decoration Day was observed. It was 3 years after the end of the Civil War, and the Grand Army of the Republic designated the day for decorating the graves of the war dead with flowers. Later, Major General John A. Logan declared that the date should be moved to May 30th. The first large observance took place at Arlington National Cemetery. Several Washington officials conducted the ceremonies, including General and Mrs. Ulysses S. Grant and then Congressman James Garfield. Garfield set a standard at this inaugural address by explaining what Decoration Day was all about and why it should be commemorated. Once the speeches were finished, children from the Soldiers and Sailors Orphan Home and members of the GAR made their way through the cemetery. They laid flowers on both Union and Confederate graves, reciting prayers and singing hymns. The name Memorial Day became more commonplace after World War II, but the federal government didn't officially adopt the name until 1967. Later in 1968, Congress passed the Uniform Monday Holiday Act, which established Memorial Day as the last Monday in May in order to create a three-day weekend for federal employees. The change went into effect in 1971.
There is over 400 years of history connected to Volusia County in Florida, including Native American residency, Spanish exploration, French colonization, and British settlement. DeLand is a city in Volusia County, just a short drive from the spiritualist camp of Casadega. We spent a night at the Artisan Hotel, a boutique hotel in the historic downtown. We did a little investigating and visited some of the paranormal hotspots in town. On this episode, we're going to share what we found about the history and haunts of DeLand, Florida.
The Native Americans who settled what would become DeLand left behind oyster mounds and shards of pottery. You know, their version of trash, Kelly.
Oh, goodness.
If our trash could be so nice.
Exactly.
They knew peace for a long time because it was hard for settlers to reach this area. Only steamboats traveling up the St. John's River could get here. Steamboat Captain John Rich was the first to settle what was known as Persimmon Hollow for years because of all the wild persimmon trees growing in the vicinity. He arrived in 1874 and built a simple cracker house. And that's not a slang term necessarily for white people. It is actually a style of house that was here in Florida, and the people who live there, they called them that name as well. Rich had been to Florida before. He had come with his regiment, the 144th New York Infantry, because all the men were sick with typhoid and they needed to recuperate. When he returned to live, he brought his wife Clara, and they eventually had the first child born in DeLand. The first religious service in the town was at their house.
Henry Addison DeLand was a baking soda magnate from New York, and he arrived in 1876, and he thought the area would be great for citrus and tourism. It seems DeLand had a case of orange fever. That's what they called this fervor that overtook some people who purchased land in Florida.
Maybe you get it when you have too much orange juice as well.
Perhaps. It wasn't that way for him at first, though. His brother-in-law brought him down because he had purchased land near a place called Orange City. DeLand had no use for dry sand and thick underbrush, but when they got to the rolling hills and towering pines near Orange City, DeLand fell in love with the prospects of what he could build here and declared that the area was like the West.
Kelly, I can certainly attest that he couldn't be comparing Florida to Colorado.
Or California,
yeah,
for that matter.
Rolling hills and towering pines. I mean, the pines are very different here in Florida. We have just the pine tree part at the very top, yes.
Yeah, long pole pine.
But you could see what he meant. You come through, there's so many wild areas still here in Florida, and you can imagine these people who were getting ready to settle areas going, Because even nowadays, which I'm sure is horrible for the environment, they just burn all that underbrush when they're clearing the land to put houses and stuff in.
He founded a town in 1876, and the few residents voted to name it for him. DeLand brought many workers from New York to clear the land and lay out streets. The town of DeLand would be a special place because of the man who founded it. He felt that this was his time to give back for all that he had been given, and he wanted DeLand to be a community based on culture and education. DeLand was the first city in Florida to have electricity.
In 1877, DeLand built a public school for the town. A freeze in 1885 wiped out the orange crop and basically wiped out DeLand himself, so he headed back to New York and handed over the school to his friend John B. Stetson. Yes, the guy who created the Stetson hat. And again, harken back to Colorado. Brings back those memories for me with cowboy hats. The school eventually became Stetson University, named for him. The sports teams are known as the Hatters. We'd like to go with Mad Hatters.
That would be fun.
But they probably wouldn't appreciate that, I'm sure. DeLand was officially incorporated in 1882 and is the county seat of Volusia County. The first courthouse was built in 1888 out of wood on land donated by Henry DeLand. The historic Volusia County Courthouse was built in 1829 in the Gothic neoclassical style with a wonderful cupola that features a four-sided clock tower and colossal porticos with fluted Corinthian columns. And it was one of the first things that we saw when we came into the historic downtown.
Yes, it is absolutely gorgeous.
The interior features stained glass in the dome and columns with ornately carved capitals. Now I wish we'd gone inside and looked, but I was worried about going into the courthouse.
I tried to tell you I would... Multiple times I said, let me just go through the door and ask if we can come in and look around. And you got all shy.
I know. No. Well, I wasn't sure if it was still an active courthouse. And I'm like, are we going to have to go through metal detectors and stuff?
Well, even so, big whoop. Yeah, it's not like we were packing.
I know. Other buildings have been added to the complex over the years. And there's a memorial garden and long fountain pool across the street, which is really cool. And that's where the modern courthouse is now located. And the newer Volusia County Courthouse is where Eileen Warnos was tried and convicted and sentenced to death in 1992. I don't know if we'd call that a little fun fact.
But... Yeah, I don't know about that, but it's a fact. Our first official stop on our adventure through DeLand was the Haunted Antique Shop, which unfortunately closed recently as the landlord died and the woman who ran the shop, Corinne Kenner, couldn't buy it herself with all the work that needed to be done to it. It's a bummer because this was a really cool place. The shop was inside a craftsman bungalow that was built in 1920 for James and Lucinda DeWalt. There was a building boom in Florida after the First World War, and the DeWalts were part of that. James was a chauffeur and worked shuttling people back and forth in DeLand and nearby cities. Lucinda liked to sit in a rocking chair by the fire and work on needlepoint as she waited for James to come home. The shop had a rocker that was built in the 1970s that Corinne dubbed Lucinda's chair because it would occasionally rock on its own. That chair sat by the fireplace and the front register area. The interior was like walking into your grandmother's parlor, only this one was filled with various curiosities and creepy mannequins.
Yeah, it was a little weird to walk in. You're like, it's kind of like an antique shop, I think. And you walk in, you're like, wow, there's some great stuff in here for us. It was like the perfect kind of antique shop for us to walk into.
Corinne is a certified tarot master and astrologer, and we liked her immediately. The shop had an antique register we oohed and awed about, and then we did the little tour that was offered. The shop has the typical haunting activity of doors opening and closing on their own, lights turning off and on without assistance, and there are disembodied footsteps and voices that come from rooms that are empty. A mirror on the top of a cabinet had what looked to be the impression of a woman's face. It was weird.
The house wasn't huge, with two bedrooms to the left of the front room, a hallway that led into a dining room, and then a kitchen area behind that filled with vintage kitchenwares. It's believed that there are five spirits in the shop. These are James and Lucinda, James and Rosie Hearn, who lived in the house later, and Annette Dennis, who also lived in the house. James DeWalt's disembodied voice has been heard often in the pantry. Corinne and her daughters both have experienced that, and they described it as a deep baritone, calm voice. We had some stuff happen while we were there. Our EMF had a little action, but only hit red a couple times briefly. Corinne came out to tell us that a little wooden soldier had apported.
You know when things show up out of nowhere? I'll show you. I had this goofy little doll, and he only had two soldiers, and I just found a third one on the floor.
Whoa. It's like, where did you pull that out of?
Yeah, I know for a fact I only had two soldiers because I felt bad. I knew there was supposed to be a third, but...
They're just helping you out.
Yeah.
Here it is. Found it. Or they hid it for a while.
Yeah. We better give it back to her.
Very cool. Yeah, so we weren't in the room, so we can't completely vouch for it. But Grin seemed like she honestly was shocked that it happened.
Yeah, most definitely.
And for the most part, she was in a whole nother room. So I don't know if she'd gone in there to put something back or if she just had glanced over and saw the little soldier on the floor all of a sudden.
Yeah, I think she said she just came into the room and found it on the floor.
The most haunted object in the shop was a very little doll called Charlie. He was a very little doll just sitting up on the mantle in his chair.
Yeah, probably only, 10 inches high.
Now, he had originally been in this thing called the Cabinet of Curiosities, which was a magical thing when we opened it up. And she had told us that one day she'd heard like a thump coming from it when it was closed. And she opened it up and Charlie and his chair were turned completely backwards.
Right.
He wasn't facing out anymore. So she took him out of the cabinet and kept him outside from then on. We did put a video up on Instagram, and I'll just play a little bit of the audio here.
Ooh, there's all kinds of good stuff in here. Oh, look at the bottles.
Oh, my.
Oh, my.
Some of them we have.
They have a Fiji mermaid in there.
Oh, yeah. Sure do. Look at the cute little hitchhiker doll. I love him.
We keep our most haunted artifacts in our cabinet of curiosities. Go ahead and open the double doors. Inside, some of the objects move on their own. Others seem to radiate mischief. One doll has eyes that follow visitors around the room. Another smiles when she sees newcomers. People do say they feel psychic energy radiating from the cabinet, as if more than one spirit is occupying the space.
Look at the stereoscope from 1900. And it even has the cards with it.
What are we looking at?
The stereoscope.
Oh. Oh, yeah, it sure does. Look at that.
Mummified palmistry hand.
Oh, they're opera binoculars.
Oh, yeah. Are you getting, like, some energy off this at all? My head feels a little weird.
Yeah, my head feels a little weird. I felt a little weird ever since I came in.
These three dolls, presumably Shakespearean characters, came from a small Italian village where artisans crafted marionettes for puppet shows.
Oh.
They're not toys. They're works of art. They literally embody the people of the past because their heads were styled with actual human hair.
Whoa.
I could tell.
Wood doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And that's probably true for the old-time medicine bottles you'll find on the top shelf of our cabinet of curiosities. Admire them all you like, but please don't ingest the contents.
It's got a liniment bottle.
Yeah,
Sloan's liniment. What does the alcohol on it say?
70%.
Whoa.
There are two little dolls in the cabinet that are a groom and bride, and they are named for James and Rosie Hearn. And quite possibly, they might be inhabited by their spirits. Corinne would sometimes find the dolls facing away from each other when she would come into the shop in the morning. She would usually leave them with the groom putting his arm around the bride. How they moved, she didn't know. The cabinet certainly has a heavy feeling about it when it is open. When we went into the dining room, we found a little fun wheel of fate that you could spin, and the K2 started going crazy near it. We debunked that there was anything electrical around it, and later we went over to see if we could get any spikes, and we didn't. I spun the wheel and got, "Watch your back." A little unnerving.
Just a little.
It really was a cute little shop and definitely had energy. Its next evolution will be as a Montessori school. I wonder if any of the kids there will notice anything strange.
Yeah, I was wondering the same thing. And it's not a big place. So when she told us that that's who was going to be taking it over, I was like, I'm not going to have many kids in here. So lots of opportunities for kids to get some activity.
Yeah, definitely.
Of course, I'm sure a lot of the activity that's in there is attached to the stuff that was there as well. We mentioned John Stetson earlier. He brought his wife Elizabeth and their three sons to spend winters in DeLand. He not only donated $1 million to the school that would take his name, he built an ice-making factory, power plant, and a packing plant. Stetson had been born in 1830 in New Jersey and learned the hat trade because that was his father's profession. Stetson became ill with TB and headed west to Colorado. In his travels, he saw Mexican vaqueros with 10-gallon sombreros, and he decided to make a similar hat that was waterproof. The hat worked so well that cowboys could give their horses water from them. The first one he made was bought off him quickly by a cowboy who saw the value in a wide brim that offered protection from sun and rain. People started calling it the Boss of the Plains. And at first, when he started telling people he wanted to make this, they laughed at him because they're like, what does a guy need a 10-gallon hat for?
Right.
They were used to derby hats, you know.
Yep.
Stetson settled in Philadelphia in 1865 and became incredibly successful in the hat business, opening several factories. He came to DeLand in 1885 and spent 20 winters there. The Stetsons built a magnificent mansion that still stands today. Stetson died in the mansion at the age of 75 in 1906 from a stroke. Elizabeth closed up the mansion after that, and it sat abandoned for many years with just a caretaker.
We drove by to have a look, but it's only open to the public at select times like the holiday season. The mansion describes itself as the only Gilded Age mansion and the largest, grandest, most innovative home ever built in Florida before 1900. It is very eclectic for sure. Architect George T. Pearson designed it as a blend of Gothic, Tudor, Moorish, and Polynesian. This three-story house is huge, but apparently only half the size of what Stetson really wanted. Mrs. Stetson is the one who got the plans reduced to just under 10,000 square feet.
Yeah, she put her foot down and said, you know, we're only spending winters here. We don't need them. I guess they call them McMansions that they build today.
This was one of the first homes in Florida to have electricity, and Edison himself supervised the installation as he was friends with the Stetsons.
And I don't know how many people know, but Edison actually had lived in Florida for a while, too.
The interior featured a variety of complicated carvings, a stunning grand staircase, Tiffany stained glass, a glass wall imported from a French chateau, 16 patterns of the nation's most rare and intricate parquet wood floors, and 10,000 panes of original leaded glass windows.
I bet you'd like some of those.
Heck yeah. There are gardens and gazebos and fountains around the property. An 800-square-foot Polynesian-style building was built next to the house as the kitchen. After the house was expanded to include a kitchen, the building became a private school for the Stetson children. The house hosted the likes of the Astors, the Vanderbilts, Henry Flagler, the Carnegies, and President Grover Cleveland. The house is currently owned by J.T. Thompson and Michael Solari, who purchased it in 2005. There are those who claim that John Stetson haunts his former home. Much of the activity comes from a middle room on the second floor. A woman staying there claims that she was kissed by someone she couldn't see. Another visitor saw an apparition of a servant wearing garb from the 19th century. People hear music from another era outside where concerts were held in the yard. One might even see the spirit of Stetson's unique pet, an alligator named Beauregard, who was kept in a pit behind the house.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know if you really want to keep that as a pet, but they would go out there in their finest period attire and watch the keeper feed the alligator whenever he'd have guests.
Okay.
Now it's all filled in, so the pit's not there anymore. Kelly, you and I decided that we would get out and take pictures because we were like, oh, bummer, the gates are closed. And it's, I didn't realize that it actually was a private residence. I thought that they had tours and stuff.
Right.
But they really do only do it during the holiday season. And it's like it's in the top 10 of Christmas destinations for you to go see the way they decorate it, I guess.
Yeah, the Christmas houses.
But we wanted a picture. So we went and we were at the front gate snapping pictures. And then I indicated to Kelly that I saw there was this hedge that was in front of the gate that pretty much it was hard to see over. So you really could only see where the gate was. But I saw, oh, there's a patch down there where there's not any hedge. Let's go down there and take a picture. So we go down there and Kelly's holding her phone up high and clicking pictures. And apparently the pool is back in this area. And all of a sudden she realized she could see a bald head. And we're like, oh my God, there's somebody sitting up by the pool probably watching us click pictures.
So embarrassing.
But it's a really cool looking house. And it does have a lot of different architectural design to it. So now my mom, we talked to her about it. She's like, oh yeah, I've heard all about it. We're definitely going to have to go at Christmas and get a tour on the inside. Stetson University is one of the oldest privately funded universities in Florida. It was originally named DeLand Academy when it was established in 1883. The campus stretches over 175 acres, and several of the buildings on campus are said to be haunted. DeLand Hall is known as the Grand Old Lady and was built in the late 19th century in the French Second Empire style. It has a gorgeous tower at the front of it with the very distinctive roof. One female student claimed that she was sitting in a couch in the hall studying when the grandfather clock near her struck three times, and then she heard very loud footsteps near her. She looked up and around, but there was nobody around. She left and later told a professor about the odd experience, and he looked at her strangely and told her that the grandfather clock didn't work and hadn't chimed in years.
Oh my.
I'm sure it was just chance that it went off at that particular moment. Elizabeth Hall was named for Stetson's wife Elizabeth and was designed after Independence Hall in Philadelphia. This started as the College of Natural Sciences. Several different departments are housed there now, along with faculty offices. The south end of the building has Lee Chapel. This is a 100-year-old performance hall having been built in 1897. It's named after a former president and features a 1961 Beckerith organ made in Hamburg, Germany, that has 2,548 pipes.
Oh my word. I would love to see that.
I know. So I was like, I wonder if that was open. We should have gone through that. So we definitely have got to go back to DeLand and see some of these things in person. We just kind of did the outskirts of the campus.
Shadowin Hall features disembodied footsteps and strange noises and screaming down the hallways. Cameron Chauvinus wrote of the haunts on campus in a Medium article in 2013 named The Ghost of DeLand. She said, I was in Shadowin last year and I did experience hearing noises and loud screams at the end of the hallway. The history of Shadowin Hall and the experiences of my friends and I all point toward possible paranormal activity. My favorite haunted place on campus is Elizabeth Hall and the ghost of Elizabeth who haunts it. I think every Stetson student has heard of this particular ghost. Some of my friends have experienced paranormal events going on in Elizabeth Hall while they were studying for finals a couple years ago. One night, my friend Danny was studying in Elizabeth and he heard noises from the bathroom. He heard the bathroom door open but did not see anyone come out. The noises became louder even though no one was around, and he eventually packed up his stuff and walked back to his dorm. He has never been back to study at Elizabeth Hall, and to this day, he still will not go back to the building. And she didn't say what dorm she lived in, but she also shared, a couple of months ago, I had come back from class and went into my dorm room. I said hi to my roommate, but she was not in the room, so I assumed she was in the bathroom. I heard her say hello back, only for her to walk into the room from the front door a couple of seconds later. I was completely shocked.
Holy Tower is a unique part of the campus, and despite the fact that the tower part no longer exists, it still has something about it that makes it strange on a university campus. This is a mausoleum. One of the presidents of Stetson University was Dr. Lincoln Hulley. He served from 1904 until 1934, so he left a mark on the place. During his tenure, he helped to fund the building of the Hulley Tower in 1934. This rose to 116 feet and featured rough cast bells that ranged in size from 575 to 3,000 pounds. Before the tower could be finished, Hulley died and he was buried on the first floor. His wife, Eloise Mayhem Hulley, died 25 years later and she was buried next to him. The 11 bell carillon were named for Eloise as the Eloise Chimes. Stories on campus maintain that the Hulleys like to take ghostly walks and they usually have a small dog with them. The couple are usually seen arm in arm walking near their mausoleum, but sometimes they venture across campus. Nearby residents also have had experiences. One of these residents was walking near an establishment that had housed the Holiday House restaurant when he saw a couple walking their little white dog, and he approached them to see if he could pet the dog. As he got closer, he noticed that their clothing was of another era, so he thought perhaps they were on their way to a costume party. And then the couple just wasn't there anymore. People who have investigated outside the tower have picked up the distinct smell of flowers, even though there were no flowers around.
The Da Vinci Design Studio is located at 117 West Howry Avenue. This has been home to a variety of businesses over the years, including Trilogy Coffee, Buddha Bowl, a hot dog stand, CBD store, and an antique shop. There are thought to be three ghosts here. One is a little girl. Another is named Hiram, who had lived in a back room of the house, and he is a mean spirit. A woman named Tiffany had worked there, and she heard his raspy, disembodied breathing, and one day she was up on a ladder painting, and she turned around to see a man standing there with glasses and a bald head, and he disappeared. The third ghost is named Evelyn, and it is thought that she was Hiram's cousin and that she took care of him. The lights flicker on their own in this house.
The Masonic Building at 142 South Woodland Boulevard was built in 1925 by William Carpenter and was known as the St. John's Masonic Lodge No. 7. The lower floor had a lobby, fireplace, and five stores. The second floor contained parlors and a large banquet room. The third floor had the lodge rooms where rituals were conducted. The main meeting room was obscured from onlookers. People who have worked in the building claim to have heard disembodied chanting and they've seen a figure wearing a cloak. No businesses have been successful on the second floor. Of course, they have all the stories that go with the Masonic lodges about they were sacrificing people inside and now you have the spirits left over from that. I don't believe anyone was ever sacrificed inside. The Putnam Hotel started as the Grove House in 1880 and was built by Henry DeLand. It changed its name to Putnam House for Arthur Putnam, who bought it in 1885. In 1888, it changed to the Putnam Inn. This was a wooden structure that burned to the ground in 1921. The newly built concrete hotel opened in 1923, designed by architect William Carpenter in the Mediterranean Revival style. And a little fun fact, Carpenter designed Hotel Casadega too. It had a great run as a hotel offering luxury, but eventually it became more of a night spot for drinking in the bar, which later expanded into a rock music venue and then a few other incarnations before it finally closed in 2011. It was demolished in 2023. So that's why we did not see it, Kelly.
Clearly.
One legend behind the haunts that we're here is about a couple renting a room. The female was an actress and she was starring in a play, and she went off to do that while her husband stayed at the hotel. We will talk about the theater that she did that play in just a minute here, because it's also haunted. Later, he saw a man embrace his wife and give her flowers, and he got really jealous, and the two argued later at the hotel and were told that they would have to leave if they didn't quiet down. The next day, the actress went to do her play while her husband went and bought a gun. He again saw her being embraced and getting flowers, and he confronted her when she got back to the hotel and he pulled the gun. She tried to grab the gun, it went off, and it killed her. He then turned the gun on himself. The man who had been visiting her at the play turned out to be her long-lost brother. Now, of course, I found no proof for this story. There was only one death, possible murder that happened at this hotel. It was very more recently, and it was a drug thing. A couple got in a fight, and I think he threw her off a balcony, or she went off a balcony. Who knows? But that's the only quote-unquote murder that I know of that's connected to this hotel. Even though the hotel was torn down in 2023, people still claim to hear a man and woman screaming and two gunshots when they passed the site. The sixth floor had a poltergeist spirit, and there was a burning wood and flesh smell that probably carries over from a 1917 fire in the hotel. Much of the hauntings here were thought to be residual. And this is crazy. There's this woman named Tiffany who does tours down there, and she shared a video of the hotel being torn down. And she had the SLS app on her phone going, and it seems to show a figure standing at the chain link fence, and it looks like it was trying to shake the fence in anger.
Wow, that's bizarre.
Yeah, I mean, there definitely is a figure on the fence, so I don't know exactly what that was about.
Yeah, I mean, they can map strange things where it's not actually a person, but it sure does look like there was a person hanging onto the fence and shaking it.
Yeah, I don't necessarily trust phone apps, but it was interesting. And now a little break for a word about one of our sponsors.
The Athens Theater was once the centerpiece of downtown DeLand. The theater was designed by Murray S. King in the Italian Renaissance style and features some weird decor. There are these gargoyle grotesques and what looks like the medical symbol all across the top.
Yeah, we could not understand that because it definitely looked like the medical symbol. So I'm like, you would think that it would be a hospital with those across the top. I have no idea why that's there.
The theater opened its doors on January 6, 1922, with a four-act comic play, a silent movie, a melodrama, and four vaudeville acts, with legend claiming that W.C. Fields was one of those acts. Silent movies were accompanied by a Wurlitzer pipe organ. When talkies started, the theater transitioned to a movie house. For a time, it became a dinner theater and closed in the 1990s. It sat vacant for 20 years, and then community leaders decided to renovate and reopen it, which they did in 2009. Like all other historic theaters, this one has some haunts. A former stagehand walks the catwalks, and apparitions from past performers are seen in the dressing rooms. Two specific spirits are brother and sister Isaac and Maria. They were from the Athens family and passed away when they were children in the livery that had been where the theater now stands. Theater employees always make sure to say hi to them when they come in. Maria is seen wearing a simple dress and ribbons in her hair. The entire production of a play once heard the children singing along in the wings. The two mainly hang out in the box seats on the left-hand side of the building, and they do like to run up and down the stairs.
And this brings us to the Artisan Hotel, which we investigated and stayed at. Edwin Barnhill built the DeLand Hotel in 1927 with his wife, Jeanette. The interiors were luxurious for the time, and each room had a bathroom. Kind of. Each room had a sink, and then two rooms shared a bathroom.
Ah, okay.
What this reminds me of is when I went to college at Colorado State University, I stayed in what they called a suite. And so there were two girls on the one side and then myself and my roommate on the other side, and we shared a shower and toilet, but then we each had sinks in our rooms.
Gotcha.
So probably a similar layout.
I'm glad when we stayed there, we had our private bathroom.
Yeah, I know that's just not your thing, Kelly. You're not sharing with nobody. There were 40 fairly small rooms to help make the place more affordable. An open-air bus would carry guests to the beach. Just 4 years after opening, Jeanette passed away. Edwin was declared insane a year later. People claimed that the spirit of Jeanette had driven him crazy. The two didn't have a good relationship and spent much of their time having scream fights. Edwin claimed that Jeanette was hounding him after death about his drinking and spending. Maybe he was just feeling a little guilty?
Perhaps.
The hotel became the Landmark Hotel for a while. The building was bought by Chris and John Sody in 1996, and they renovated it to 8 suites and renamed it the Artisan Inn. They leased to another company in 2011, and it eventually fell behind on payments, so the Sodys decided to sell in February 2013. The Artisan sat vacant and stayed that way until the following year when it reopened as the Artisan Downtown under the ownership of Sarah and Haina Patel. There were 8 boutique-style suites on the second floor and an Indian-European fusion restaurant downstairs along with a bar. Today, the hotel has 14 rooms, and the restaurant is now Chica's Cuban Cafe, and the food was amazing.
Yes, it was. We loved our room, and we decided to do a little investigating before we went down for dinner. Edwin and Jeanette are thought to haunt the premises, especially on the second floor where their room had been. Edwin also likes to hang out in the basement. There's the spirit of a young girl named Sarah Elizabeth, and she likes to tug on sleeves. Disembodied footsteps and whistling is heard in empty rooms. Dishes fly off counters and shelves in the kitchen. Legend claims that a prostitute was strangled in the hotel, although we haven't found proof for that. Some think that she haunts the hotel. Diane turned on the Ghost Tube app and we immediately got trapped, and then we were told we were talking to someone who was young, which struck Diane as weird because she was just about to ask the age of the spirit. I got out my dowsing rods and we immediately got interaction. We got confirmation that we were talking to a child. We talked about the bear we had brought with us and the dowsing rods pointed in that direction. We also had set up the flashlight experiment near the bear and the flashlight came on and then turned off at our request.
Can you touch the little device that the bear is holding? Oh, thank you for turning the light on for us.
Thank you very much.
Can you turn it back off? Can you turn the light back off for us?
Fade it out.
Can you just step away from it a little bit? You could step more towards the bear.
You have to stop touching it for it to go off.
Yeah, just step away from it.
Thank you.
That's great.
I confirmed we had multiple spirits with the dowsing rods, and the flashlight came on again, and the Ghost Tube app said, "Where am I?" We continued to dial into how many spirits were with us.
So are there 5 or less with us in this room? Yes, there's 5 or less. Okay. Thank you. Can you point them straight ahead, please? Are there 2 spirits here? No.
No. Okay. So there's more than 2.
Are there 3 spirits?
I'm getting 3 in my head. 3.
3.
Okay. So we have 3 of you with us.
Let's just confirm with the dowsing rods.
And just for the audio, I want to confirm that the flashlight turned on for 3.
Are there 3 here with us?
And the dowsing rods are telling us yes.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Can you turn the flashlight back off for us?
Please.
Just step away from it.
Thank you.
That's wonderful.
We really appreciate the communication.
Yeah, that's great.
So we not only had Diane's head saying 3, but the flashlight turned on for 3, and the dowsing rods confirmed it.
Okay, so here I'm going to go ahead and play our first Estes session that we conducted, and for those of you who aren't familiar with the way we do this, we now have a spirit box that will record the session internally. And to save your ears so you don't have to listen to the blip, 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 what you're going to hear here is Kelly asking questions and talking, and then you'll hear me responding, and then right after that, you'll hear us playing what I heard on the spirit box. Some things I kind of got what was being said, others I'm not sure, so occasionally I'll sprinkle in something that was said that I didn't catch or what have you. So just so you get a feel for what you're going to hear here.
Kaite? What's Kaite?
Kaite is shut up.
Just screamed Kaite. Who?
So Diane is listening to this device.
Maybe.
that will allow you to speak through it. She can't hear what I'm saying. So does anybody want to share their name with her? Or would you like to ask us questions? It's probably very common that people come here and ask you guys the same questions over and over. But we would, again, like to know if there's any spirits here with us right now. Maybe you were here earlier. Maybe you're somebody that is just coming through now. I'm Kelly. That's Diane. And we're just coming to see if you guys will communicate and share some stories with us. I'm a mom, and I have two grown sons in their young 20s. And Diane and I love doing paranormal investigating, trying to communicate with you guys. We have a flashlight over there that you can turn on. Let us know you're here in the room.
It was something in Spanish, Ella a vista, something like that.
She is...
Ella a vista.
Ella a vista. We have very limited knowledge of Spanish. We can pick apart some words, but if there's any way to communicate in English, that would be most helpful.
It's all good.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that. Do we have multiple spirits with us? Do we have adults? Do we have children?
There was a bit of a song there. I don't know what it was saying.
We can sing you a song. You want us to sing? We're not very good. You can tell her. You probably would prefer if we don't, so feel free to say no. We'll save your ears that way. Although for some reason, oftentimes spirits want us to sing. I think they're probably laughing.
That was a Spanish song. It went across like boom, 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 boom.
Huh. Is that the music that you listen to? I'm sure you enjoy the music down in the restaurant downstairs. The Cuban restaurant. It's not Spanish, but more of a similar vibe to the music. La Musica. So did you live in this building?
Habla inglés.
Did you?
And that's me saying that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. I figured. Did you work in this building?
It's a little bit of Cuban music.
Did you pass away in this building? Do you want to communicate with us? We're open to some dialogue here.
Mas.
Mass dialogue.
That was two voices. Something about it's nothing and then nice.
Pretty nice.
We'd love to have a conversation, so we're just trying to piece things together. Do we have men and women here with us right now?
So right there, you immediately hear that it started with callate, which is basically shut up in Spanish.
It's actually more polite in Spanish, but that's the English translation as I understand it.
Gotcha. And for those of you who speak Spanish, please correct us on that. But I was just putting the headphones on my head, so we weren't really totally into the session yet, but I heard that yelled out and I was like, oh, wow, I think that's a word, isn't it? I wasn't sure that the music that I referred to there as Cuban was really Cuban music, but it is interesting that you were talking about the music from the Cuban restaurant downstairs, and I can't hear you.
Right.
So for me to say that music sounded kind of Cuban right at the same moment that you were talking about the restaurant, just a little interesting. I had taken my headphones off when that last part came through, so we really can't make it out. Here it is again. And I'll play it again. Do you guys have an idea of what was being said there? We conducted a second Estes session and got the following interactions.
Do we have an adult with us? Noah is pushing them outside towards my shoulders. There you go. If it's no, that's fine. Do we have a child with us? Crossing them is yes. Okay, thank you.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
That was quite an emphatic yes.
Yes.
She says it the way she hears it. Would you like that? Yeah? Can you point them straight again, please? All the way? Thank you. Yeah, you can talk to her, too. It might be easier. What she's listening to, she can pick up words from you.
I'm the idiot.
I the idiot?
And it was like yelling it. Hey, baby.
Oh, hey, honey. So am I getting flirty here? A little bit? You can speak through there, though, too. She's going to say things exactly the way she hears them. Can you face those forward again? So it sounds like we have multiple spirits with us. Sounds like we have a guy.
Be with us.
Be with us.
Oh. Is that a little kid or a woman? I don't mean little. A kid? A child? Thank you. So it definitely sounds like we have multiple spirits hanging out wanting to chat. Yes. Okay. Thank you. Double yes on the calcium rods. Now, if you want to say anything to her about who we're communicating with, she's just going to say it out loud. She can't hear what I'm saying. So if you want to share a name, an age, a number of spirits. We also have a flashlight over there. We'd really appreciate you lighting that up again. Somebody was working with that earlier today for us. Turning it on as a response, turning it off when asked.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you. We certainly appreciate communicating with you. Now,
yours.
Yours.
What do I want to ask you guys? It's not same that everybody else asks.
Let me just break in here really quick. There were some things that came across the spirit box that I either didn't catch or I couldn't really hear or understand. This is one of those. It was very soft, but as I listened to it more closely, I'm thinking it's saying, everybody who, which makes sense because Kelly just said, I want to ask some things that everybody else hasn't. So it's almost like the spirit saying, are there supposed to be some other people in here? Everybody who? What are you referencing?
Have you ever been able to manifest as a color? So when somebody sees your spirit, your particular color? Remember, no is pushing out towards my shoulders. Yes is crossed.
point them towards the wall. Clear it out. Thank you. My favorite color is purple, so I hope at some stage of my passing, I'll be able to manifest this purple. I don't know if that's something that we're actually typically capable of or not, but I think that'd be pretty neat. So can you tell her what you did for work? Did you work in this building? Did you work in this area? So I'm getting double yeses with the dowsing rods.
Adam Sodeplublik?
Are we speaking with Adam? And one other thing that's helpful is, as you're speaking to her, just make sure it's one at a time. Because if you all start speaking at the same time, it can get pretty confusing. So maybe taking turns would be great.
Blah.
Hablo poquito, mucho poquito español. It's about the extent of what I speak. Unfortunately. I learned it, but when you don't practice it, you don't remember it. So do you enjoy communicating with people here? People ever get scared? Yo. So I do, maybe? Or was it a yo?
Yo.
I know, I'm just holding these up here. I'm not really asking direct questions, so sorry. Very good. Let's start over. Do we have five or less spirits with us right now? Do we have five or more spirits here with us right now? Okay, the dowsing rods are crossing for yes. Thank you. Appreciate that. So more than five this time. Earlier we had less than five. I think we had three.
No.
No? Yeah, we did. That was a quick swing to yes. That's what we were told. We just had to believe what we were told because I can't see you. So. We can see you.
Hi.
Hi. We can see when you manipulate things. Like we can see the flashlight turn on. We can see when you touch the EMF over there, the K2.
It's not.
It's not.
Nice.
What's not nice? Somebody not being nice? You guys having a different conversation with each other? Yes? Thank you. The fella said. Tell her, maybe? No?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
It's significant.
What is significant? The number of spirits here? Is significant? Okay. Dowsing rods crossed to yes very quickly. What is significant about it? Can you maybe explain to her? Or you could say it into the recorder.
Prove it. prove it. Hmm. Say it into the recorder right there also.
Yes, indeed.
All right. Because we're going to play that back later, and we'll be able to hear on there. We also have these little light-up balls, too. Sometimes those are fun to help with communication. I'm sure you've seen those before. We have some over by the snacks, too. Do you guys like snacks?
And something is como?
Something is how?
Can we meet?
Can we meet? Well, we're open to you materializing and letting us see a full-bodied apparition. That would be absolutely amazing. Can you point those away, please? Thank you. All right.
So
is there a mother here also? Yes? I have two grown sons in their 20s named Jared and Austin. Austin loves to go fishing. Yep. He is a very big fisherman. Dowsing rods are crossing, yes. And Jairus.
Peace out.
Somebody leaving? Am I boring you with my conversation? Sorry. It's kind of one-sided until I hear you say something. I'm just trying to think of things to come up with to talk about. Anywho, Oldest is very into historical locations and history in general.
Let's go do...
What would you like to go do? I'm in my pajamas, so I'm not going nowhere. I'm staying right here, getting comfy. Hopefully you couldn't see me put on my pajamas earlier. Couldn't see me, right? Right? Oh, good. You don't say no very often. I'm glad you're saying no. Thank you. Psych. I had a little girl spirit follow me into the restroom once. That was a little disconcerting when I realized that she was in there with me. So I like my privacy when it comes to those moments. Anyway, so I don't know if we have anybody with us that wants to light up any of these balls.
Hi. There was two people who spoke over each other.
Ah. And you can see how that lights up. Yeah, if everybody can take turns, that's definitely helpful. Yes. Thank you.
This.
So are there any kids that
scatter?
Are you pointing to where the little kid is? Yes? Okay. Thank you.
All right, I'm going to take these off. So if you have anything else to say, say it right now.
Yeah, it gets tough for her to keep listening to that.
It's gonna sail. You are.
Yes, she's gonna take them off in just a minute. Are you over by Diane?
I just started talking about how you were going to be taking them off and stuff, and look at what they did. Well, they're moving now, but they started pointing at you.
Oh.
And I asked, the light just flickered. And that just crossed for yes right now.
Although that voice didn't sound like a child, we definitely got a yes to the question about whether we had a child with us. I thought it sounded more like a man, but...
Indeed.
There was flirting, Kelly, with, hey, baby. And we definitely got some Spanish.
Yeah, quite a bit.
Definitely had a Spanish-speaking ghost with us, and it was cool to get habla when you were telling them that they needed to speak one at a time. So it's almost like, well, I'm going to speak, you know, I'm talking.
Right.
Also, Kelly, I love it. After you mentioned the snacks, we got what sounded like Yo Como, and you were hearing Como, so you're thinking how?
Right.
Exactly. Rather than
comer.
It is the way you would say I eat. I mean, comer is to eat, but Yo Como is I eat in Spanish.
Yes, it
so
is.
So I thought that was very cool. Now, after that, we got an English speaker, and I said something else, but now I'm almost wondering if they were referring to eating as well.
Yeah, it definitely sounded like it. After this, our room was completely dead.
Yeah. I see what
Pun
you
intended.
Did there.
The lounge downstairs had ramped up with music and frivolity, and we figured the spirits were bored with us old ladies. We slept through the night without any issues. The next morning, we hit C's Country Diner at 413 South Woodland Boulevard, and it was excellent. As you can hear, DeLand is a fun day trip and even overnighter. Are these locations haunted?
That is for you to decide. Well, it was a great time, and I just love, you know, you go into these small towns and you don't know anything about them, and then you dig into their history, and I'm like, what a rich history in this town that is an hour away from us.
Yeah, very much so.
And we also did a live show just last weekend at the Casadega Hotel, which is right up the road from DeLand. So when you go to DeLand, you can hit Casadega, Orange City's there, and it's very close to Daytona Beach, so it's just a great time.
And it's actually very close to Blue Springs also, which is gorgeous. And if you're lucky, there are the right time of year, you might see manatees.
We would love for you guys to see our website at historyghostbump.com. And if you'd like to send us some feedback, you can do that at historyghostbump@gmail.com. I want to thank you guys for tuning in to this episode. I've been your host, Diane.
And this has been Kelly.
You take care now.
Bye-bye.
This episode isn't brought to you by our executive producers.
Dispatches from the Grave Digger.
We want to thank Cassandra Distily for raising your contribution. We're going to be moving you into a chest tomb. And welcome into the cemetery, Brenda Wheeler. We're going to put you in a chest tomb as well.
Thank you so much for supporting History Goes Bump. You really do contribute to bringing this show to the masses.
Sweet dreams.
It seems DeLand had a case of orange fever. That's what they called this fervor that overtook some people who purchased land in Florida.
Maybe you get it when you have too much orange juice as well.
Perhaps.
I got a fever, and the only cure for it is more cowbell.
Christopher Walken.
There you go with that earworm.
People who've worked in the building claim to have heard.
Heard?
Heard. They heard it.
They heard it.
Ever tried reading while jogging? Cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcast FREE.